Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Är vi tillbaka med Rock Bottom?
Rock Bottom, Rock Bottom. Det enda du behöver.
Stenrumpa eller någonting.
Stenrumpa?
Ja, vi ska översätta det lite sådär svängels.
Ja, stenrumpa.
Dansbandsversionen av den här podden skulle bli stenrumpa.
Mm.
Ja. Anyway, nu är vi inne på Sweden Rock Festival 2018.
Och, för då frotterade dig med stjärnorna.
Ja, visst är det. Massa intervjuer blev det, bland annat med Madame X.
Ja, det är ju så ballt. Alltså, Madame X, det är ju inte världens bästa band. Det kan vi väl kanske skriva nu.
Amerikanskt sleaze-metalband, kan man säga.
Det är jävligt dåligt band egentligen, men fruktansvärt roliga och trevliga som fan.
Ja, och med alla originalmedlemmar på scenen.
Ja, jag såg dem för några år sedan när de faktiskt gjorde sitt första gig på hur många år som helst. Just på Sweden Rock.
De återförenades.
Om det var 2014 eller någonting sånt där. Och det sög hästballe, kan jag säga. Det var riktigt...
Det lät betydligt bättre i år.
Ja, du kanske har repat lite mer nu, för det var inte bra.
Och det är ju då Brett Godzilla och systrarna Roxy Petrucci. Och Maxine Petrucci. Ja. Och Roxy ingår ju även som trummis i Vixen.
Ja, Vixen, precis. Mm. Så Maxine var ju då sexbomben med gitarr. Jättetrevliga. Och jag minns när de här dök upp. Och det här var ju precis då när Motley Crue härjade som värst och Wasp och alltihopa. Och de såg ju precis ut som okej, älskade. Fast det var egentligen inte okej.
De är faktiskt, alla ser jättebra ut fortfarande, måste jag säga.
Jag jobbade på Rocket då, kommer jag ihåg. Det var 85 måste det ha varit. Men de såg verkligen ut som ett band som vi skulle pusha.
Mm.
Sen skitsamma om det inte lät så bra. De såg skitcoola ut. Så när jag åkte till Los Angeles så hade jag bokat upp en intervju med dem. Och det var nog första intervjun de gjorde med en utländsk tidning.
Mm.
Och de ville att vi skulle träffas uppe på Hugh Hefners kontor i Playboy-huset på Sunset Boulevard.
Varför det?
Därför att de hade varit uppe där vid något tillfälle och gjort någonting. Vad vet jag inte, jag vill inte veta heller. Men de hade någon cool glasvägg där med en sån här glasmosaik. Så de tyckte, där blir snyggt att fotografera.
Ah.
Ja, okay. Ja. Så vi hade med oss blixtar och sånt där. Så där träffades vi och fick låna något rum. Jag vet inte, någon kände någon där kanske. Så vi satt uppe på i Playboy-huset där och Hugh Hefner gick faktiskt förbi när jag var där och jag såg honom och det var väldigt många söka bunnies som sprang omkring där uppe. Och de var jätteglada över att en svensk tidning ville göra dem och sådär och vi plåtade dem där och vi gick in på toaletten och plåtade dem och de stod och låtsas och kissa och sådär. Och det var väldigt så här, konstiga bilder. Och de var ju då med i tidningen flera gånger och vi gjorde någon telefonintervju med dem. Jag tror Micke Johansson såg dem live någon gång. Jag såg
fotografen?
Dem. Ja, jag såg dem aldrig live. Men sen hände det ingenting förrän de återförenades. Och de kom ihåg mig direkt. De bara sprang in och skrek Anders! Skitroligt! Jag har inte sett dem på 25 år. Det var jätteroligt faktiskt. För de var roliga.
Det lät faktiskt riktigt bra den här gången måste jag säga. Maxine hade lite otur, någon grej som inte funkade på någon låt sådär ljudmässigt. Men för övrigt, bandet var faktiskt, för att vara Madame X, jag tror inte de har låtit bättre någon gång. I och för sig, jag vet inte hur hög nivån är då, men jag säger det i alla fall.
Okej, okay. De var uthärdliga i alla fall.
Ja, och jag måste, det nya materialet är faktiskt riktigt bra.
Mm. Ja. Jag var ju inte där när du gjorde intervjun, men hälsade de till mig?
Absolut. Lyssna här för att höra. Anders couldn't make it today, but he sends his best wishes. You met him when you were doing OK Magazine, right?
Yes, 1984, 85.
Oh my god.
When your first album came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's say welcome. We're very, very happy to and honor.
Are we live right
now?
Right, is it hot in
here? Tag nurse! We love you!
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Please welcome Madame X.
Thank you!
So you were in OK Magazine in 84.
1984.
Yes. Was that the same year as your debut album came out?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It came out,
we reserved the right.
Yeah.
It came out the very end of 84, the beginning of 85. So it was a little bit of confusion. It says 84 on the record, but it was really in the stores
in
1985.
It was like March of 85.
Yeah, just
yes.
Before.
Oh.
Yeah, just before.
I saw somebody waving the cover in the audience.
Quite a few of them went through the meet and greet.
A lot.
Oh, because we finished recording it in December. We did all the videos in December of 84.
Right.
And Holiday, and then they released everything in March. So it was actually 85.
About a week. Yeah, we did the
but
record.
But only we know that. So.
No, no,
too
you
long
know
to
that.
Remember. We don't remember.
Cherokee Studios.
Oh, I remember.
Oh,
I remember
okay.
That.
You started out in the mid-80s then. Mm-hmm. Let's call it mid-80s just to make it easy.
Sure.
And that was like the sleaze and glam era of metal.
Sleaze.
Yeah.
Like we say that.
Can you please give the very few of our listeners, maybe the very young listeners, a brief background of the band?
Remember, she said very
we
young.
We can't do brief. You're talking
well,
brief.
Well, long we do the long version
right,
then.
Well, we'll let Chris do the brief version.
Yeah.
As far as the group goes and what we're about?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
No, just a brief
background. Of,
yeah.
Of our background.
The band really formed in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a different singer at the time. And we went out as Maxine, myself, and Roxy, with a different singer to the East Coast of the United States, New York. And Brett Kaiser was the singer in the opening act
Cheetah
that we had. And we thought that what he did complemented what we envisioned for ourselves and what in our goals.
It stays with
so we had a conversation with him.
I remember it so well.
And then a couple of months later, Brett joined our group and we played around the United States for several years and decided at some point that we had written some songs that we would test our songs. We would write them on the road and play them in front of a strange audience every night.
Mm-hmm.
Different audience. And the songs that got a response, those are the songs we kept. And at some point we decided that we were ready to go seek a record deal. And we were so naive. It was 1984 and we said,
right.
We're going to go to Los Angeles and get our record deal. We're telling
Yay!
People on the road. We're going to be in LA for 2 weeks. We're going
yeah.
to get our record deal.
And we
so
you
went for
we
2 weeks.
We visualized it
in
that 2 weeks.
We did it.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
played
we
two
played
shows.
Two Sharon Osbourne's father.
The first show we got.
He managed John
yeah.
Stanley
yeah.
at the time, ELO.
Air Supply
and Lita Ford too.
And Ozzy fucking Osbourne.
And Ozzy.
Yeah, he brought Ozzy.
That was his son-in-law. So.
Wow.
And what was his words?
You're my best
greatest,
five, greatest five
greatest
in, the
greatest
in the last
mind.
5 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We played one show at the Troubadour. Game. The whole Jet staff
in LA.
Came. In LA at the Troubadour.
That's quite an impressive way to start a band.
And the guys
yeah.
from Lost
well,
were
Well, you know
Lost
what? To be
there,
honest
remember?
With you, that's what we said we were going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we just
we were
envisioned, like Roxy said, we envisioned it, we saw it, we said, okay, we're ready. Let's go to LA and let's get a record deal.
And you did it.
And we
yeah.
did it.
We really did
off
it.
The ditching Sebastian Bach as a singer, I might add.
No, before that.
Oh,
before
that's
that.
All before.
Yeah.
He came after.
Brett was,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
He sadly came after.
What?
He sadly
Who?
Came after Sebastian.
Who?
Right. You know, here's what,
I get it.
Can I throw something? Yeah,
who?
I get the who. Here's what.
No, Sebastian's a great guy.
Because we had
really
this our new album, Monstrosity,
yeah.
and I was talking with Roxy. We know, because a lot of people, because Sebastian's so popular, and then we were forgotten, and
well,
we just
yeah,
got together in 2014,
guy.
Right? And we only had Sebastian for like a year and a half, right? 18
months or so.
Something like that, almost 2 years. So everybody was associating us with Sebastian, and it's like, how do we get rid of that? And I felt bad for Brett. We felt bad, because he's our original singer.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you correct that? You put out a great album.
Of course.
Well, he delivered the goods like you wouldn't believe. And all these reviews and interviews that we've been doing in the States and like Brazil and what have you, not a word of Sebastian's been mentioned because they were so blown away.
Until now.
Until
I'm
now.
So sorry.
Because
but you
I,
know what?
And I brought it up to Roxy when we were rehearsing. I said, you know, nobody's been saying anything about Sebastian. And I said, and it's because I think Brett like proved his ground. And he's just so great on this album, and he's standing out.
But we all were, and everybody.
Everybody's great,
everybody
right?
Did,
but he has, you know, because of Sebastian, though, because of Sebastian.
You know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, the
what
whole point.
The question?
No, about Sebastian being
oh,
a singer.
Fuck it. Yeah. Let's move on.
No, we're doing that again. We're, no, just, no, 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 no.
We go
one
off
thing.
On
when we got one thing leads into another. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, like, he brought us right back on the map as the original Madam X. The original sound, he delivered the goods. Everybody delivered the goods,
yeah.
And it's a great album. And
I have to say, it's a really good album. And I was so psyched because I have
oh good.
And I
yeah, you played
my favorite song from the album, Resurrection.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I love that song. Yeah, and the crowd was just going wild. It was quite early in the day.
Yeah,
you had a huge crowd.
Yeah, but that's where you unplugged me in Resurrection.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know what?
What
I
happened?
Here's the thing.
He meant to do that. He
no.
meant to
no,
do that.
No, he went over there and something happened.
No, I went over to the other side.
He can't
and
hear my
they only
guitar.
Gave me
yeah.
a little length mic
yeah.
cord.
Oh.
Right? And I didn't have a wireless. I was like, do I get a wireless? The guy goes, no. I was like.
Yeah. It was,
I saw your guitar tech come running
but
in.
But it unplugged me and I'm like, where the heck am I? Where do I jump in? Because
he resurrected you.
So we just kept going though.
Yeah, he did too.
We just kept going because.
Yeah.
Because
you have to.
And
yeah.
I came in. I came in. I think I came in the right spot.
You did?
Yeah.
You
sounded
there.
Great.
Yeah, yeah,
and you kept
fun.
Playing. Even though there was
because I was like devastated because I care about what I do. So I don't feel like I'm perfect.
Well, I'm glad that you just looked at me and smiled, though, because we were like, looking at each other going,
like,
I can't believe that. Just
yeah.
Out.
And it was, I knew it was a true accident. I felt so bad
yeah.
for you, and I knew
it
you
was
felt
like,
bad.
Hush. Because
well,
you
to
know
me,
what?
It was an extra dimension to my favorite song.
Did it?
You, Al.
Yeah. Did it sound okay when I came in?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's rock and roll.
Okay. Yeah.
And stuff happens, well, and so obviously we don't play to a track.
But on a human level.
Absolutely.
Right?
We proved that now.
It was raw.
Yeah.
But on a human level, I mean, in my shoes,
mm-hmm.
when
yeah.
that happened.
Human?
Right?
He's not
he
human.
Felt, he felt so bad, he was like,
went, my
he
shoes,
was apologizing to me.
I was like this, I was like, okay, don't forget the words.
Yeah.
Oh shit!
He was
just
like,
unplugged the guitar.
Yeah, he.
She's gonna throw her guitar.
Yeah. No, no.
What are the words? Oh, okay. Hold on.
And I was feel like.
Saw Jesus this day.
Yeah, he was just. Random.
So I just came up to her and we started singing together.
Yeah.
Like, okay,
and
she's
I was
cool.
like, we're back. We're good.
Where do you pull all your energy from? I mean, you're just a fire.
Oh, is that
on stage?
I think
no.
because no, 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 no,
yeah, yeah right here.
No, no. No, you know
pointing
what?
To a glass of red
this
wine.
No,
I
this has to take us down from that energy.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how much energy
you know
we
what?
Have.
And that,
we get it from the crowd.
Yeah, you're high on adrenaline.
It's
yeah,
from
so.
All the love.
Because you know what? I hurt my wrist.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't feel a thing.
No,
yeah.
because
yeah.
she loved it
thing.
So much.
And I
and
played
you're
two
actually
shows.
Playing two shows.
Two shows.
Yeah.
shows.
Oh,
yeah.
With a hurt wrist. A week ago, we were rehearsing, and we were rehearsing with two legs in her left arm.
What happened? Skateboarding accident?
Yeah, but she was kicking ass, which is
carpal tunnel
like,
or something.
I don't know what it is, but I feel great right now.
Yeah.
It's like, Vixen warmed me up, and then
yeah,
when I played with Madam X.
And I healed you.
Yeah, you need
I healed you.
Rock and roll healed you.
Yep. That's the way
so
it is.
So she's good.
So tell us about Monstrosity. What's the story behind that? How did you come up with the working title for it? And did you keep the working title? Was
she
it always
had
Monstrosity?
A riff.
Yeah.
She came up with this riff, and
yeah.
I was already working on lyrics called
mm-hmm.
Monstrosity.
Yeah.
And she's playing me this riff, and I go, I think I have some lyrics that would be perfect for that.
Uh-huh.
So then I gave them to her, and she started
and
making them fit.
Yeah, and then this is what I said. I go, I know Brett's voice. I know what he could do.
Mm-hmm.
I go, he needs to go here. Remember I said,
yeah.
I go, Brett doesn't even know it, but I go, I know it. I go, this is what Brett does incredibly. So I was just kind of like, you know, like given the idea. And then
well, we did
hit.
The basic. We did the basic. And then we gave it to Brett and Chris.
And Chris, and then
they
added
their
magic.
Yeah, they
and he made it like
it.
He took it to another level because we're not capable of what he can do. But we understand his voice, so we took the idea, and then he just built it to, like, oh, my God.
It's difficult because
yeah.
these guys live in Michigan.
Yeah, that's why.
I'm in Phoenix,
apart.
Arizona.
And you?
He's in Michigan. He's
outer space.
We don't know where he's from.
Where do you
from
live?
Monstrosity. He's from Monstrosity.
Okay.
He's from
Monstrosity.
I'm from a state of confusion.
He's totally the
Monstrosity. I live in Michigan most of the time.
You are the Monstrosity, and that's why she probably came up with the name
Monstrosity.
Like that.
Here's what happened.
As we played in 2014, and we...
After, you actually played here
right.
in 2014.
Yes.
Was that like the starting point?
Yes.
We did the
getting back together.
Yeah. Yeah. Real quick before you
that go inspired into your thing. Us to do the record.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Wow. See, because this is what happened. Really, yeah. Before you go into your thing, mm-hmm. Roxy was playing in England at Firefest with Vixen.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff was coming across the table, Madame X
merch stuff.
So she called Maxine.
On the meet and greet.
Yeah, she called Maxine, said, hey, we ought to do something for the fans.
Like one song. She goes, just one song.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Maxine calls me. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, that's, hello, who's this?
I didn't know of how people would respond if they'd want to do it or not. Said, but I called her first.
Because she was signing so much merchandise.
Yeah, I was signing a lot of merchandise. There was a lot of the Vixen or Madame X records coming through.
Yeah.
And it just like hit me. And I was like, well, maybe we should give them a song. Yeah. One song. Maybe we can get together to do one song. That one song.
What? Then that was the song he
Chris
wrote.
80s rock song.
Another 80s rock song.
Okay. We played that at Sweden Rock. Mm-hmm. And then that.
As a hello, we're here.
Yeah.
Well, that's either hello,
hello
or a goodbye.
Here, right. Yeah.
Hello or goodbye, right?
Well, that's
yeah,
how we
right?
got
right?
Sweden
that's
rock,
how we
though.
Felt. Yeah.
Because all original.
Yeah.
The all original band
yeah.
was together
well,
doing this
the
song.
Owner of Sweden Rock
yeah.
actually contacted
Johannes Lindstrom.
Maxine
mm-hmm.
and said, hey,
he
you
said,
guys were huge in Sweden. We
he said,
you to come
is this
play.
The all original Madame X?
Yeah.
And he goes, I mean the all original.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, Brett Kaiser, Chris Dolliver, Roxy Petrucci, myself, Maxine. So it's all original. He says, well, can you play Sweden Rock? We'd love to have you.
So they called me and they go, hey, you want to play in Sweden?
Mm-hmm. He's like, nah.
I was like, what? Sweden as in overseas Sweden? Went, yeah. Hell yeah, let's go!
Then they decide they're going to play and the contracts come and they said, hey, you want to play in Sweden? They already agreed. No, it's all original. You'll be there.
We didn't care what he said. We knew you would do it.
But yeah. So anyhow, we played in Sweden in 2014, and then we decided this was fun, and we'd like to, you know, do another record with
yeah.
something that we want to do, and just, you know, put our heart and soul into it. So we probably wrote like 30 songs-ish. For this record, some
mm-hmm.
really good songs that didn't make it on the record, but I'm going back to your original question, and some really good songs didn't make it on the record, and then as the songs came in, at some point, about a third of the way into the development of the record, they said, how about it, Monstrosity is an album
refill,
title.
We had to refill what we were
feeling.
Remember,
we haven't been together many, 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 many
like
years.
30 years.
So we've all grown apart and doing our own thing, so
mm-hmm.
coming back together... It
the feel
we had
to get the right feel
we had to relearn kind of like refigure
yeah.
out who we were
well
yes.
come up with a direction and a
it,
yeah
it,
and a
yes.
vibe you know and
yes.
that's they said Monstrosity and here's a song
yes.
and then
yeah.
all the songs that were poo-pooed that were great songs were not really
poo-pooed at all just
a good choice for this record
yeah you have
so,
to curate the album
so
somehow.
Right so then we kind of pulled the songs in that would be suitable for
yeah.
a record called Monstrosity.
Yeah, something that we could be proud of.
You know, and it's really bizarre how it all came together because we are kind of all apart. And she's like always busy with Vixen. He's doing his thing and he's out of state. So somehow it was meant to be because it all came together at a most utmost level. We did it.
2 years in the
it
making.
It took 2 years, but we did it.
We wanted to make sure and not deliver a turd.
We
yeah.
did not want the fans.
We had
waiting.
A lot riding
yeah.
on it because... Believe it or not, we had no idea that We Reserve the Right was, you know, so popular.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
We had
our first album.
The
yeah,
first album.
Yeah.
You know, we had no idea.
You, 30
when
years
we got
later,
here,
you still have a big following.
Yeah.
Right?
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
it is really cool.
Because, obviously, I mean, my bank account didn't show it.
No, my bank didn't either.
You know. But
well, remember, it's not about the money.
Right.
It is.
It's not about the money.
It
but
be about
what
the
I'm
money.
Saying is...
But 30 years later, though.
Yeah, we had no idea. But so...
Mm-hmm.
When we did We Reserve the Right, you got to understand something. We were rushed. We had some songs that we put together, and we played, and we got signed, and Don Arden was like, I want cute songs. So we did what the record company wanted.
But we weren't cute.
Yeah,
we were like heavy before
was,
that.
What's different about this, though,
they
is...
They were cute with their faces and
yeah.
bodies,
we reserved
but
the
not,
right.
back then.
Not
you
music-wise.
And I were writers,
we
really.
Were
no, yeah,
bad.
The first
now
record.
Now this one, the whole band wrote.
First record,
yes,
yeah.
More homogenous.
This band, this record, we're all writing.
These two,
we're all a big part.
Really hit the ball out of the park. I mean,
well, you know why? Because we sat there and we were really scared. It's like, you know, we're making a comeback. We did Sweden Rock.
It's gotta be great.
It just has to be great at any level, no matter what anybody thinks. And we what?
Just for ourselves, even if it didn't sell, I didn't care.
We didn't care. We wanted it to
I
be
just
great.
Want to put that record on a
yes.
Look back and go, God, that was a fucking killer record.
And you know
yeah.
what? It
we did so much work on that album, and I know in Brett's too, he was in Arizona doing all this stuff back and forth, flying back and forth, to the point where we kind of got sick over it.
We were stressed.
We were getting sick. Yeah,
we were just too involved in it. We were just so into
it. I was so sick.
Was it taking on a life of its own?
Yes.
Yeah. It made us like really sick.
The monster, physically, it was
a monstrosity.
You know what? You need to talk to our sound or our
engineer Kevin
because he wanted to go jump over a bridge.
He said he's going to jump over a bridge
because we were so hard on it. We're like, no, that's wrong. Do this to it. Da da da. And remember, oh my God, we were getting so sick. I'm not hearing it. You know, because after all these years, our ears have really developed. So I think we have relative pitch. Not perfect, but relative. So if something wasn't pitched right or whatever, and I mean bass, guitar, doesn't matter, vocal.
She's a little overboard on that.
Oh, my God.
Like, I could let things slide, but she was like, no, I can't do it. No, I can't do it.
The reason being is because when it's on vinyl, it's vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it didn't, if anybody was mad at me, it didn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. No, I meant to do that.
I didn't want anybody in this band... In this band to have anything that was out of tune, wrong, or anything at any level, I didn't care what anybody thought. I knew that everything had to be pitch worthy.
Well, I was
on all our parts, and even there's some guitar parts where I go, I hit the wrong note. I can't do that.
There's
lead
a certain
again.
Feel, even if you're a little flat or whatever, it's okay.
So there's some parts that
like,
you're like,
there's guitar leads because when I do leads, I do like up to three. I do three. I do the whole thing.
Do you ad lib all the time, or do you write the solos?
No, I write the solos, but I get about up to three chances because my energy is so into it. After chance number three, I lose my vibe.
Well, then she'll play him for him, and we'll pick out. We'll see
and
that
it won't
one
be good.
Good.
So
I'm not here.
No. So what would happen is like I might hit like a wrong note, and I'm like, I did a great solo, and I can't believe I hit that note because I'm not perfect. I'm not John Petrucci from Dream Theater.
No.
So I said, Kevin, will you just?
She's Maxine Petrucci.
I go,
no relation.
I go, Kevin, I need you to stretch that note to where I hear it. And I'd hum the note at him, and he'd stretch it. And I go, I don't know why I hit it, but I go, I don't want to lose that whole lead. I'm not going to cut it because I'm over it.
That's the feel part.
And that was the thing. And that
to
would
keep
go,
the vibe.
Yes, to keep it. So he would stretch that note where it needed to be.
Yeah.
So it was very random here and there.
So
hardly
you can
at
see
all.
We're passionate about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Because everything's about feel.
So who is the typical Metamix fan now, 2018?
In jail. No, who? Not where?
No. I think it's people that
you just
remember
seen it.
We just
played for them.
Hey, we have fans that are 10 years old. We have fans that are 50 years old.
Yeah,
it's not.
It is so mixed.
Yeah. It's
There's a fun
vibe. It's heavy.
Yeah,
and it's not like dark and deep.
No, it
even
feels
though
like
we're
it was
heavy.
Such a kind vibe and just, woo!
You were going to say something.
Yeah, we had people here that flew from Australia.
Brazil.
Mm-hmm. They've come from all over. I mean, like, you know, when we're not playing in Sweden and we do some other shows in the United States, Sweden people, UK people from Brazil, they come. I don't know why they're such hardcore fans.
I love them
and I appreciate that. But there are people that are, a man was standing before me today saying, you scared the hell out of me when I was 10 years old. Sign my album for me.
That's cool.
But he gave me nightmares.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I told him he gave me a nightmare.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you have in the pipeline for the rest of this year then?
Well, we have some future dates
surgery
in the works now. he's got to get us
back.
We have
some future dates coming up.
We do.
If we don't break up again.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
Our passion is so much where, like, I want to just punch him really bad.
I was going to ask you that. How was it to get back together after all that time? I mean, not only musically, but socially.
Are you talking about today?
What?
No, you mean when we first got back together?
Any day on the road.
Today, I really want to punch him.
We were all in our best behavior when we first got back together.
Yeah.
Everybody was happy to be here. We want to, you know, and then when we got down to business, it's like,
but did you stay in touch during that, your quite long
hiatus?
No, really.
We did not.
I got the call from her. I was like, who's it?
Like, who are you? It was a joke.
He goes, it's Maxine.
No, he knew, but he was like, really?
Yeah.
No, but it was like people are really, you know, because you rock and roll is part of the audience too, and you feed from them, It's like everybody works together. Mm-hmm. It's not just like we're a picture on the wall and you stare at it.
Well, you know what? You know? The true test is once we started rehearsing, it was like it was 1984 again.
Oh, my God. It's the same. No, we're having the same problems today.
Yeah. The chemistry is still there.
How can that happen? How can you have the same problems after all these years? You think we'd all learn from them? Everybody, he's still the same. She's the same. I'm the same. He's the same. It's unbelievable. But that's what sparked
made us
and
what
made
we
Madame X, that whole weird.
It's a love thing.
The love. It's love hate.
That friction, though, is what makes a band great.
Friction is what makes that.
It's never, you know, lovey-dovey all the time.
You get it.
Show me a band that loves each other every
Look
second.
At Mick Jagger and Keith Richards.
David Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen.
Look
There's
at that
friction.
That friction is what makes.
I mean, you need that even at a dinner party.
We have it today. I had
that push. That push pull that makes you grow.
We had that today. I got to sneeze. I don't know when.
You have to sneeze.
Ah, my shoulder.
So, last question.
No farting.
Oh, don't go there, because it's bad.
Smell-o-vision.
And if I
punch that.
And those black pants, that plastic bag shit I was wearing, if I would have farted,
she
would have known.
She would have blown up like a balloon.
They look great, though.
You would have known. I did not fart. But you're right, I would have floated.
So, last question. I really do hope that it's not going to be another 30-plus years.
No.
Oh,
what?
Until next album.
Do we have anything? I don't even know what to think of that.
Hell yeah.
You guys, what was your question?
She said it'll be another 30 years.
How long will it be?
We have a,
do you have anything in the
we
making?
Have a, we just recorded a video or filmed a video for Monstrosity, which nobody's ever mentioned, but we did. We spent a lot, 220-hour days.
We're working on that right now.
We have so much fire and smoke and 220-hour days, and a little caveat to this whole thing is there was 9 or 12 of these flamethrowers on stage, and it was, we were playing on an alien planet surface outside the outskirts of the city of Monstrosity. It's a big, like old school soundstage, big set, lots of fire, lots of smoke on a strange planet, surface, okay? And as anybody knows, or maybe you do or maybe you don't know, that when you film a video, you go through the song like 100 times. And I'm, okay, I exaggerated. It's more like 150 times.
Yeah. It's exhausting.
So, it is. So every time one of these fire, you know, flamethrowers will go up, it's hot as hell. Like, boom, that's hot. So we're playing, blah, 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 playing. We see the, and I was like, God damn it, it's hot. And we see people running out past us and screaming, and now they're running on stage because the fucking set's on fire.
And Roxy takes.
And you can see the bloopers, like she's playing this, and the flames are not stopping, and people start running around. She throws the sticks up here and jumps off the drums.
For real?
For real? Yeah. I couldn't make that up.
No, but there is one amazing thing that Dickhead here did, is that he built.
Nice.
He built. Yeah. Well, it's for real. It's for real. We all feel that way. He.
He and built, she's being nice.
I like this to buy
is, I'm telling the truth. I'm telling you the truth.
I like to buy he a fuck did, you.
No, hold on a second. I can appreciate that.
All right.
He built a most amazing set for the Monstrosity. It was nobody could ever do that.
Yeah. It was very Hollywood.
And I can't even say anything bad about it because it was incredible.
Yeah, well, so the video is being edited right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being edited by a guy in the United States, and it's being edited by a guy in Croatia. Czechoslovakia.
When is it going to be out?
Harris is
we're supposed to be out before Sweden Rock.
Yeah, but there's so much stuff.
No one rush.
There's green screen stuff. There's stuff that nobody's ever seen before. It's really, really awesome.
In about 2 years,
amazing.
It'll be ready.
It should be ready soon.
But you know what?
If Maxine will get her hands on it, it could take about 2 years.
The set was so amazing. I can't say anything bad. I can't. You could never say
it's fantastic.
It was over the top.
You know, not the set. The whole
I can't deny it.
It's in Madame X fashion, over the top.
Mm-hmm. And then everybody, the Brett, all of us were all part of like trying to see his vision. He was, you know, like a true artist. And we were trying to build to his vision. At the same time that we're bidding, it was a lot of hard work. So it was like everything we did in the 80s where we did everything from like scratch.
You can pull it up on your phone, can't you?
I don't have it. My phone's turned off.
I don't have my
clothes. It's just from scratch, and it's really amazing. And I think that when it's done and edited,
I got a pick.
I think we're going to have a really awesome video for Monstrosity.
Yeah.
I
mean, we'll have to check that out when that's out then.
Monstrosity.
Yeah, Monstrosity, Madam X. And over the top, as always, that's what we will expect from Madam X. Always.
It is.
Thank you so much. And best of luck. And I do hope to see you back in Sweden really, really soon.
Thank
you.
And we
want
to say to Anders, hey, where the hell are you, Anders?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So, welcome to Rock Bottom, Nazareth. Legendary is Nazareth.
So pleasure.
You had a huge crowd here at Sweden Rock Festival.
That was great, yeah.
Absolutely crazy. I mean, you played quite early in the afternoon, and the crowd were just going wild.
Now, it was funny, because just before we went on, you know, the guy that started the festival, the man who promotes the festival, he came to the dressing room to say to Karen and I, come and see this. They took us along, they've got all the posters for all the festivals, every festival, did you see it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the poster for every Sweden Rock.
Yeah.
And his very first one is Nazareth headlined, the very first, the very first Sweden Rock.
Super cool.
So we've been here a few times since then, you know, I thought we must have played... We must have played about five times now, you know, through the over the years.
Yeah, and the festival has been going on for like 2 decades or something.
I can't remember what else then, but
I mean, you have so many legendary hits. And when I heard you, because I haven't heard you play live in quite a few years, when I heard it today, you sounded a lot heavier than the last time I saw you play.
Yeah.
Yeah? How come?
Is that my fault?
Why is that?
Well, my roots are, you know, from the metal days and the heavy rock days. So, I guess it's still my style of singing. But you know, a lot of people have accepted it. You know, with my style voice with Nazareth songs, and it just seems to work. You know,
work really well. I mean, I heard you play Razamanas, and I was like, that's the way it should sound. Yeah, it just sounds so natural. But how was it, because going from, you know, these legendary classic tunes with those legendary vocals and coming into the band, were you nervous at all?
I always get nervous, but then I just have a beer, you know, and then I chill out a bit.
That's the solution to everything.
We didn't know what to expect, did we? We just got, when I went for the audition, it just gelled, it just felt right. And
you know, when we were looking for a singer when Dan had to leave, everybody that looked for the job, everybody came. They all sent tapes and they all sent videos and they all tried to sound like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all sounded like, that was Dan McCaffrey, sounded like him. You know, that doesn't work, you know. And this guy come along and he said, well, this is how I sing. And I'll sing the songs the way I sing them. And we went, yep, that's what we need. You know, we don't need anybody that they say, oh, well, somebody trying to do a, you know, an impersonation.
Sound like,
you know? So now you've got somebody presenting the songs in a different way. And I mean, let's face it, when you actually play live, you very rarely play exactly how they were on record anyway, you know, even when we had the original lineup.
Yeah.
So it's just an extension of that kind of thing, you know, only with the man here singing. And as you said yourself, it sounded a little bit heavier, you know, so it's this sort of influence on the song, you know, it's Carol's influence on the song.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's been a good thing, you know.
But how do you keep, I mean, I've seen you live, obviously, and you bring such energy. How do you bring that energy on stage after all these years? How do you stay hungry?
With great difficulty.
I'm glad you beat me to that.
Is the solution beer once again?
Actually, I don't know, I think it's... Again, it's a mixture of the personalities, I think, you know, in the band. But Carol's got a very physical presence, you know, on the stage, and I think that, you know, it gives off to the band, you know, it gives off a vibe, you know, the way that he, I mean, he's quite dangerous on the stage. I have to stay out the way in case he jumps on me or something, you know. So the sort of the whole thing went up a good few notches, the energy level on stage since he joined us.
That's great to hear. So was that the plan that you had, or did you have any plan joining the band, or were you just...
No, I had no plan. It's the way that's the way I perform, and it just seemed to work, you know. From the beginning here, I think the other thing is I enjoy the song. So for me, there's a few different styles in the songs. You've got your heavy rock, and mm-hmm. you've got your ballads, and you know, and there's so many different genres. I think, and for me as a singer and performer, I like that.
I mean, it must be quite a challenge in many ways.
But I just enjoy it, and I think that makes me more excitable on stage, and it just comes across, I think.
Yeah, but the thing with Carol, when we saw him, when I first saw him actually on a show live, he was with a sort of review, like a rock show. It was a big rock show. What do they call that?
Classic
thing?
Rock.
Classic rock show.
Oh, yeah.
So then, mm-hmm. you know, and he was singing, and he had to sing all different, you know, because they were covering the whole spectrum of, you know, modern rock, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he was doing everything, like Queen songs, and he was doing Toto, and he was doing, songs. And yeah, and he had to do all these things. And you think, so I think that was interesting for him. So I think that when he joined Nazareth, it was quite interesting for him as well, because it's not the one thing all the time. You know, we do a lot of different kinds of, you know, we got hard rock, a bit of boogie, mm-hmm. a bit of, you know, rhythm and blues, a ballad, you know, the sort of things that we do, you know. So some things are poppier than others, you know.
Yeah.
And that's, for a singer, if you can sing properly, then that's great. It'd be a challenge, but it'd be fun, you know.
Yeah.
There's some guys, they've got a genre that they can sing in, and that's all they can do.
Yeah.
You know, these some guys, I'm in a heavy rock band, and this is what I sing, and
you
that's all I can do.
You need somebody that's really versatile.
Yeah, we need somebody that's, you know, that's a bit more.
Speaking about Sweden Rock, and you mentioned before that you played here like 5 times, and you headlined the very first Sweden Rock Festival,
with
right?
The very first Sweden Rock, Nazareth with the headline, right?
So I was thinking, coming here today, what about in 10, 20 years, when maybe you have retired, and Ozzy have retired, and all these great, I mean, the really big bands that are touring right now, who will fill their shoes? I mean, there are a lot of great bands, but these, I mean, humongously successful for 50 year bands.
The legends, it's difficult, you know. I often wonder that myself.
Different era, different time, isn't it? I don't think that time will ever be there again, you know. But there's some great new bands also, and it's just different, you know.
You know, you go to, as I said, rock and roll never die. You got to remember, the biggest ticket, the fastest selling ticket in the world right now, in all time, is the Rolling Stones. And they're like 74 years old, you know. So, you know, that's still the hottest act.
Absolutely.
You know? So, you know.
So if you would put together like the Nazareth Fest, what lineup would you like to see? What other bands? I mean, would you headlining, of course.
Oh, no.
What other bands would you see on your own festival?
I wouldn't even play. I would just sit and watch them all and get my favourite bands on.
So what would that be?
Oh, well, you see, it would be very difficult, because we have got very diverse tastes in what we like, you know.
So what would your choice be?
Oh.
Say a 5-band lineup, your choice.
What of Little Feet. Mm-hmm. But most of the people I like, it's not so much bands, I like a lot of individuals, you know, people like Warren Zevon, and, it's not rock, the stuff I like.
Anything.
Randy Newman, you know.
Yeah.
just, Fairport Convention. You know, I like a lot of sort of, and I still like rock bands, you know, but it'd be more like, I don't know, more basic rock. They're not big bands that I really, you know,
my
influences are actually playing this weekend.
Oh, all of them?
And that that would be Iron Maiden, Judas Priest. Yeah. And this is my, you know, when I was young, and that's what I was listening to. And so, you know, they're playing, and so hopefully we'll get to see Iron Maiden tonight. And sadly, we're not here tomorrow to see Priest, so I'd love to see them.
So any plans for a new studio album?
We're just finished recording it. It's coming out. It comes out.
What?
The name of the album is, I can let you hear a track actually. No, it's called Tattooed on My Brain.
Is the name of the album. Yeah, and what release date?
It's supposed to be, the release date we've been given, it's on Frontiers Records, and it's the 9th of November.
Great!
See, well, it's too, by the time we just gave them all the mixes, what, 2 weeks ago, eh? That's too quick to get a summer release, you know? So, you know, it takes a while. Once you give the thing to the record, it takes a band a couple of months to make the record and maybe another month to get it mixed and do things. And then you give it to the record company, and it always takes them at least 3 months,
yep.
You know, so the whole process, you know, it takes a while. You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it's got 13 tracks on it. It sounds really, really good. We had to do an album if we can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are going to be very surprised when they hear this.
Well, I can't wait to hear it.
And it's so very, very good. It's got some of the best material we've had in years.
Great. Exciting. What is the difference between promoting an album in 2018 and, say, in 78? I mean, with all the social media that we have now, but also hardly any, like, proper press.
Records.
Selling
records. The records are a problem.
No records and no, like, music magazines, no MTV. I mean, what's the difference? How do you approach
that? It is different,
that?
You know, and it's a thing that we're trying to understand ourselves, you know. Record companies still kind of think old-fashioned ways. They say, well, you got an album, when are you going to tour, you know, play some shows? But that isn't really, you know, to bring an album to the world these days, if I play some shows in Germany, there's people in Germany going to see you play. But, you know, you can't be everywhere at once. But with the social media now, everybody, they live on that now, you know, they actually live on it. You know, you see people, it's their whole life, you know.
Yeah.
So you've got to try and get through on that. And if you've got any ideas on that, please let us know. Because, you know, there's a lot of, internet, the stations, the records, the radio stations, there's thousands of them. You know, ask somebody to give me a list.
Yep.
The other day, they had Carl, you know, and I said, listen, what we should be doing is punting out like a single, you know, the record.
Yeah.
You give it to these people and say, look, are you going to play that? And they would, because general radio, the national radio, no. But try these people, so I said, do a list of rock stations and send it to me.
Thousands of them. But on the other hand, being on the internet, you have to break through, just like you said, but it also feels like you get closer to the fans.
Yeah.
They can interact with you and so on. So I guess it both pros and cons.
You know, we're going to be touring, you know, like we did. And in the old days, you said, like back in 78, I think what happened was that when the tours, because you were on tour, they could make a big noise advertising, you know, the band on tour, advertise the record, you know.
Yeah.
It was not so much you playing the songs, it's just to let everybody know that it was actually out.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And you can still do that, obviously.
Yeah.
You know? But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this one, you know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I keep hearing about albums being, well, it's a big hit. It's not a chart. It's not a chart. It's a big hit with the people, but it's a big hit on this. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have this last question that we ask all our guests, and it's called the cringe song. And the cringe song is a song that you really love, but it's kind of cheesy. It's not something you would normally say to a journalist, but this is rock bottom. So, could be some, like, cheesy commercial that just gets stuck in your head, or a song that you loved in your childhood, just something that your fans will be, really? Does he like that? Listen to that? So, what's your cringe song?
Not a Nazareth song, you mean someone else's?
Someone else's song. Oh, anything.
Cringe one that I would like to sing?
No, just something that you like, that you really, it's like, you're almost ashamed to like it. Something really cheesy.
Oh, God, I can't think.
It's like you're at home in your closet listening to ABBA or something.
Oh, dear.
Something that would surprise your fans.
Well, it's not really a cringe song, but as such, but it would surprise people, is Glen Campbell.
Uh-huh.
Which to Line Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
So
it's not that cringy.
No, it's a lovely, okay, beautiful song. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's kind of like, I can't think of anything else that I wouldn't listen
it's
to
not
anything
that metal.
Else. No, but it's a beautiful song, and it's not rock, you know.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Do you have a cringe song?
I wish I'd written it.
Me too.
No, I'm not going to say Tie a Yellow Ribbon. No, I was going to.
That's a great song, though.
I've got one, Feelings.
Yeah.
Feelings.
There
you go, this one. I couldn't
think,
you know, so.
The one that, I mean, I've actually got it off iTunes, and I could never play it to anybody. We were like, Cliff Richard doing Green Light. I love the song. Love the song. And I thought, well, Cliff's the only person I could get actually doing it. You know, and I mean, to actually see you like Cliff Richard and you're a rock band is embarrassing.
Well, that is a cringe song, if any.
Cliff Richard doing cringe. It's a good record.
It's a good
record.
Thank you so much. And best of luck with everything.
It was nice meeting you.
I'm so looking forward to the new album.
I'm glad they caught us at the door before we left.
Yeah.
We were going
so
to
am I. Thank you.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.